Hello, you're listening to a Zen Studies Society podcast. To learn more about our community of Zen Buddhist practitioners, please visit zenstudies.org.
From the recorded sayings of Master Tozan Ryokai. Tozan Ryokai said to Issan Reyu, I've heard that Chu Kokushi, the national teacher, taught that insentient creatures expound the Dharma, but I'm not clear about it. Issan replied, sermons by insentient creatures are given here for us too, but few can hear them. Tozan said, would you please teach me about them? Issan said nothing, just raised his hosu straight up. Tozan said, I don't get it. Would you please explain? Issan replied, I am completely unable to tell you using the mouth that my parents gave me. Why don't you go to Master Ungon's place? When Tozan met with Ungon, he asked, who can hear the sermons of insentient creatures? Ungon said, insentient creatures can hear them. Tozan said, why can't I hear them? Ungon raised his hosu straight up. Do you hear? Tozan replied, no, I don't. Then Ungon said, don't you know the Flower Garland Sutra says, water, birds, and trees, all without exception, recite the Buddha's name, chant this Dharma. Upon hearing this, Tozan had a breakthrough. He wrote this verse. Wonderful, wonderful. Sermons by insentient creatures. You fail to hear if you listen with your ears. Listen with your eyes and you hear them. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Whether or not we were here on September 15th, 1968, and we've already ascertained that quite a few of you have not yet been born when this temple was formally opened. We are sitting together this weekend because of the spiritual journey with all its joys and struggles to which our Dharma ancestors committed their lives. With gratitude, we remember and pay homage to Edo Shimano Roshi, Hakun Yasutani Roshi, Soen Nakagawa Roshi, Soen Shaku Zenji, Nyogen Senzaki Zenji, Dr. D.T. Suzuki, Doris and Chester Carlson, and to all the Sangha members who gave so unreservedly of themselves throughout those early years. And to all of you who continue this Dharma with your dedication and your enthusiastic practice. Most of you were here for the 50th anniversary with all its splendid activities and guest speakers and exhibition and commemorative booklet. What we are doing for this anniversary is the epitome of what New York Zendo is here for. Zazen. From Friday evening through today, we are just sitting. It's a very auspicious time, a busy time. This Thursday is Mandala Day, when we'll be having the formal opening of Fall Kese at Daibusatsu Zendo. On Saturday, when we begin Golden Wind Session, it's the autumn equinox, known as Higan in Japan, the time when day and night are equal, a perfectly balanced time. Not too hot, not too cold. And Higan is a time for practitioners to reflect and renew and to honor their ancestors. And today is the last part of Rosh Hashanah. Also begins a very solemn time known as the 10 days of awe, ending with Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, which I will also miss observing in the synagogue because it occurs on the first evening and first full day of Golden Wind Session. Now, you don't have to be Jewish to feel the power and the exhortation of these 10 days. Okay?
Right.
It's a time of inner probing. Repentance. We acknowledge all the ways in which we have fallen short of our aspiration and vow. And we resolve to purify our hearts and renew our dedication. The Hebrew word teshuvah, used for this period, these 10 days, particularly Day of Atonement, do you know what it means?
Return.
Return. Return. We return to the way. This cannot be named source of our innermost aspiration. We return to the pure beings of light that we are by nature. And of course, session is nothing but this process of return and transformation, repentance and renewal. Often people ask, does one have to give up the spiritual tradition of one's family background, one's ancestors, to be a Buddhist? Have you ever wondered? Some say no, some say yes, some say, I never thought about it. What tradition? Can you be both Christian and Buddhist, Jewish and Buddhist, Islamic and Buddhist? Of course, there are plenty of good examples, people doing so. Think of Roshi Kennedy, the past Thomas Merton, Leonard Cohen, Sharon Salzberg, and Norman Fisher, present. Recently, I read something in Lion's Roar online by someone called Som Purfarzane. He wrote about his intertwined practice of Islam and Buddhism. And he spoke of it this way. The selflessness and interconnectedness of all beings and all phenomena as captured in the Buddhist concept of emptiness provides me with a reference point for how to experience the presence of Allah in daily life. All phenomena are selfless manifestations of Allah, empty of their own inherent existence and dependent on everything around them to function. Ultimately, the elements of a multi-religious experience meet in what I call a disposition of devotion. Worship and meditation represent to me different but converging practices pointing toward a similar experience of selflessness and generating the same outcome of compassionate altruism toward all beings. Wonderful. For me, it's not a matter of being both Jewish and Buddhist. It's a matter of being one. Despite our ingrained habit of dualistic thinking, there is, in truth, no either or. Practicing, embodying oneness is not a matter of terminology. We cannot name this one. And this nameless one is what we encounter in everything, without exception. The floors, the stairs, the sidewalks, the stones and trees in the garden, the tea in this cup. Please feel free to shift about, stand up, run out. So today, after that long preamble, we are going to look at the case that I read to you earlier about Tozan Yokai. And this case takes place early in his practice. He lived from 807 to 869. He died 3 years after Rinzai's passing. We're in Tang Dynasty, China. And he became one of the greatest Zen masters of his time. With his disciple, Sozan, he founded the Soto School of Zen. What is the primary practice?
Shikantaza.
Shikantaza, which means
just set your soul.
Hit.
I like that better. But the words can be said to be hit. Just sitting.
Taza.
Shikantaza. We do, many of us, shikanmu. Nothing but returning always to this, no matter where the mind wanders, just. And some of you who are doing advanced practice are familiar with Tozan's five ranks. And many of you know the koan, case 43 of the Blue Cliff Record. A monk said to Tozan, "Cold and heat descend upon us. How can we avoid them?" Tozan said, "Why don't you go to the place where there is no cold or heat?" The monk asked, "Where is the place where there is no cold or heat?" Tozan said, "When cold, let it be so cold that it kills you. When hot, let it be so hot that it kills you." You can put in any words you like. When in pain, let it be so painful. When sick, let it be so. Of course, this line has great resonance for us, doesn't it? The hottest summer, the hottest July on record, wildfires, smoke, earthquakes, floods, all the disasters of the climate crisis coming one upon another. Where is the place? It's a perilous time for the planet and all beings upon it. I was remembering Tom Porter, leader of the Mohawk Nation, told us at the Parliament of World Religions in 2018 in Toronto. And as he was driving there, he knew he had to say something. He didn't know what he would speak about. And then he heard a voice. He had a visitation. The voice was that of Mother Earth. She said, "I have supported you humans for a long time, but you are causing me great harm. If you don't change your ways, I cannot support you any longer." So what do we do? Where can we go? Tozan told the monk, "Why don't you go where there is no cold or heat?" And when he heard these words, he probably wondered, where is that place? It must be out there somewhere. This was before spaceships. Where can I go? And Hakuin commented on this. He conceives of an interpretation following the words, not realizing he's been given a method of changing his bones. And so often we do the same, hearing something completely revolutionary. What do? We interpret it according to our own familiar patterns, thus missing it. This gift that would change our very bones, the marrow itself, we say, "Never mind, I love my suffering." It's familiar. So when cold, let it kill you. With cold, when hot, let it kill you. With heat, let it kill what you think of as yourself. Organizing the world according to your own agenda, blind. To the consequences. When there is no place other than here, when you realize there is no going elsewhere, there is no hope for amelioration, just a little bit less hot, a little bit less cold, and you drop your view of cold or heat or sickness as having some unchanging substance, or even as having no substance. And all such concepts are blown away, thoroughly upended, pierced through. That's when practice really begins. That's when you can fully give yourself over to this very place. That's when chanting Tisarana, Bhutan, Saranam Gacchami Dhamman Saranam Gacchami Sangam Saranam really mean this. I go. Then what? And you're home. As a young monk, Tozan first went to Nansen's monastery, and then to Isan's place. And he asked this wonderful opening question, opening in both senses of the word. Even though he was not completely clear, the question was very intense for him. Something resonated. And this happens for each of us in some way. We ask a question that we may not even realize is the question of our deepest yearning. It brings us here. Brings us returning to here, this very place. So Tozan said, I've heard that Chu Kokushi, the national teacher, taught that insentient creatures expound the Dharma. I'm not clear about it. Isan replied, sermons by insentient creatures are given here for us too, but few can hear them. What about these insentient creatures? Right here, all around us, right? What's the problem? Why can't we hear? What does insentient mean?
Without consciousness.
Without consciousness? So we think, without being able to feel, right? Sentience is feeling. So insentient creatures, we might say, oh, those objects all around, right? And we tend to think that if things are insentient, they're really not worth caring about. Well, maybe we can get a better deal if we sell something that we've taken good care of and, you know, nice piece of furniture. But basically, it doesn't have sentience, we figure. So therefore we have the climate crisis. We categorize this and this. They don't have feelings, then they're just there to be used, right? We parcel out the world that way. We exploit, we commodify the earth. What's it good for? Build a highway through there, dam up that river, clear cut that forest. A lot of money to be had until it doesn't support us anymore. But we come to see in our Zen practice that awareness is 100%, and awareness is everything, and awareness is in everything. When you become aware, the floor becomes aware of you. That mutuality. Yes, I will support you, Mother Earth said for a long time, until you break that contract. So, come to this realization that the mountain understands us. The stone in the garden speaks. The trees. Now, scientists are telling us, oh, they have this amazing network of communication. Everything does. Everything. The cars, we hear, their wheels on asphalt and concrete. They're singing to us. Kokan spoke yesterday beautifully about his car, his song. And he thought it was a sob story. And then, lo and behold, Bodhisattva's mechanical parts began to operate in sentient creatures speaking. And song was reborn. The restoration of this floor, he pointed out, with all its thousands and thousands of little rectangles. Quite a project to engage with this kind of restoration and this kind of work. We actually hear the sermons of these insentient creatures. To pick up a cup, to hold it. This is not merely a utilitarian object. It holds, we hold it. It holds us. This is what we mean by reverential mind. It's not that we are going to a specific place and praying to some specific deity or statue or any of that. But we can. We can give over to this. Trust this, Chu Kokoshi said. Insentient creatures expound the Dharma. How fantastic. We're surrounded by these teachings. We may not notice them, but how is the lectern station? We meet, yes? And how about that floorboard in front of you? To begin to feel this is to really transform our lives, to have a sense of wonder about everything. Nothing is left out. You know, at my installation as Abbot on 1111 at 1-1, for those of you not into numerology, it was the first month, the first day, it was the year 2011, and it was at 11 o'clock, intentionally chosen. Umon, I spoke on at that tation. Umon's Blue Rock Collection, case 86. He addressed his monks and said, each of you has your own light. If you try to see it, everything is darkness. What is your own light? Well, 20 years went by. Finally, no one could answer. He answered for them. He said, the halls and the gate. Wonderful example of insentient creatures giving their sermons. The halls and the gate. This light is shining in everything, everywhere. If we have eyes to see, ears to hear, it's here in this beautiful Zendo. It's also in the bathroom, in the office, outside, on the street. The gate that we pass through freely in our practice, the halls and the gate. We come into the Zendo. This is what Vimalakirti spoke of as the gate to the one and only. Every time you come through that door, realize what you are doing. We chant in Bodhisattva's vow, who can be ungrateful or not respectful even to insentient beings? When you hear that line, what comes to mind? Even to insentient beings. Have you ever gotten angry at an insentient being?
Yes.
Yes. Of course, we all have. They don't always do what we want them to do, especially things like computers. I have no You never saved that file. Or cars. Oh, yeah, doesn't start. Why? Key in the lock. Wait a minute, I have to get in. No, key says no. Bowls. They have a life of their own, right? They just seemingly clatter out of our hands and there it goes. These things seem to turn against us. These avatars called insentient beings. Sometimes we feel that way. We stumble over something, we drop something, we get stuck. But these actually are the great teachings, the avatars of Buddha, as we recite. There are so many stories about Zen masters who came to great awakenings just that way. Kyogen. He was breaking around Chukokushi's grave. A stone hit a stalk of bamboo. Ping! Sermon. Gensho stubbed his toe on a rock. Right in the midst. Omon's leg got caught in the door that was slammed by Bokshu. Broke his leg, screamed, and was deeply enlightened. Now, please don't think that you should go look for a way to hurt yourself. It will come all by itself. But if you're really practicing with deep concentration and deep sincerity, something can happen from this terrible thing. Always, always, this is possible. These sermons are being given. But Tozan, yearning to understand this statement of Chukokushi's, asked, "Ah, oh, Master Eson, please, would you please teach me about them, these insentient creatures?" Eson said nothing. He just raised his hosu. This is not a hosu, it's a stand-in. A hosu has a big whisk. Purification. Some of you have taken Jukai with me and I whisked you. Whisk, whisk. I just feel this. Feel that. Straight up. How can it be taught? He didn't teach about it. He just gave it. Here it is. Sentient. Insentient. Right here. But Tozan said, "I don't get it. Would you please explain in all sincerity and humility?" So often, this is kind of a rare thing, right? We want to look good. We don't want to look clueless. Oh, yeah, yeah, I get it. Okay. What the hell is that? Just to say, "I don't get it." Isan replied, "I am completely unable to tell you using the mouth that my parents gave me." Is this mouth that my parents gave me?
Speech.
Words and concepts, all of that. Phrases. This is how come. This is the explanation for that. This. How can it be explained this way? It cannot be conveyed. It cannot be described. Mumon's verse to case 23 in the Gateless Barrier, "Think neither good nor evil," goes this way. You cannot describe it. You cannot picture it. You cannot admire it. Don't try to eat it raw. Your true self has nowhere to hide. When the world is destroyed, that is not destroyed. So, Isan, having told Tozan to go see Ungon, he went to Ungon's place and asked the same question. Who can hear the sermons of insentient creatures? Ungon said, insentient creatures can hear them. So do you have to become an insentient creature in order to hear these sermons? Tozan asked, why can't I hear them? Ungon raised his host straight up. Do you hear? Tozan replied, on our behalf, no, I don't hear. Still stuck, still flummoxed. Then Ungon said, don't you know the Flower Garland Sutra says, water, birds, and trees, all without exception, recite the Buddha's name, chant this Dharma. Upon hearing this, Tozan had a breakthrough, and he wrote this verse. Wonderful, wonderful. Sermons by insentient creatures. You fail to hear. If you listen with your ears, listen with your eyes, and you hear them. To hear with your eyes. I'm sure some of you have had this experience. With rapt attention, R-A-P-T. Attention to what? Just attention. It is not comprehensible with our logical minds, our mouths given to us from our parents. And particularly in session, this can happen. Maybe you've had the experience of walking, stopping, letting the eyes listen. Deep gaze into this. Most of the time, everyone's too busy. This use orientation takes over. Insentient things. Okay, I need that. Put that away. Throw that away. Hear with the eyes. To see with the ears. So there's a bit of a coda to this koan. Coda, you understand coda?
Okay.
Tozan's practice became this pure, lucid awareness. And he stayed with Ungon for some time and became his Dharma successor. And then, prepared to leave, Ungon asked, "Where are you going?" Tozan said, "I don't know." "Wonderful. I don't know." Remember when Master Rinzai was about to leave Obaku and go on pilgrimage, and Obaku asked him, "When you get there, what will you do?" What did Rinzai respond?
"When I get there, I'll know what to do."
Yeah. No future projection, just this. When I get there. Ungon then told Tozan, "Sooner or later, you'll return." Tozan said, "When you have an abode, I'll return." What an enjoyable Dharma exchange. What abode? What return? Diamond Sutra tells us, cultivate the mind that alights on nothing whatsoever, that abides nowhere. No fixed abode. Therefore, we are at home everywhere, and we can return and return and return. Ungon then said, kind of a wistful, W-I-S-T, wistful statement, very human statement. If you leave, it will be difficult to see one another again. You can feel your heart open to this, right? Wonderful teacher-student relationship. And of course, this intimacy is, as I say, at the same time, very human. Tozan replied, it will be difficult to not see one another. Beautiful. Nothing to do with temporal and spatial concerns. Just this mind to mind, heart to heart. So, seeing with our ears, we will see each other. We will return to this home. This life, another life, never apart from each other. I'm going to be retiring on October 1st, they tell me. But to what? Daido John Luri Roshi, who was abbot of Zen Mountain Monastery, retired a few days before he died on October 9th, 2009. I'm not promising anything. And he said about this case, what happens when the teacher disappears? Is that the end of training? Of course not. The training continues endlessly. That is when the 10,000 things, the whole phenomenal universe, teaches in great profusion. That ultimately is the place where the teachings of the insentient take place. Does that mean that this teaching is not for everyone to hear? Definitely not. It is constantly taking place. We may not recognize it simply because we are chasing our preconceptions about what Zen is, who we are, what the teachings are. We are looking for something to reflect on, name, and categorize. The teachings of the insentient, Daido Roshi said, are not like that. It's not like something. It's not like anything. So, the last few lines of this coda. Before departing, Tozan asked Ungon, if in the future someone happens to ask me about the master's dharma, how should I reply? After a long pause, Ungon finally said, just this is it. Tozan sighed. Appreciating it as Ungon's dharma, not yet his own. This long pause, this sigh, not yet, and yet the fruit is ripening. Can't be rushed with the readiness of time. With the silence of the pause. And then this phrase, just this is it. So Tozan left. And while traveling, he came to a stream. And as he waded across, he saw his reflection. Wow. And he wrote this enlightenment verse. Long seeking it through others, I was far from reaching it. Now I go by myself and I meet it everywhere. It is exactly me. I am not it. Understanding this way, I can be as I am.
This has been a Zen Study Society podcast. If you found it to be of interest, please consider making a donation by visiting zenstudies.org/donate. Thank you for listening.